Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and beloved, God is in the miracle-working business. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. As with the Lord's help, we're going to conclude some thoughts and share some scripture on the message I have ministered on this week, the Father's children. Are you a child of your Heavenly Father? Have you, through the salvation offered through Jesus Christ, experience the comfort and security of a really good Father? And that's who our Heavenly Father is. Some of us, in our natural experience, perhaps you never had a father you knew. In my case, I had a single mom raised us. I never had the experience of a natural father. Or perhaps you did, but that father was abusive. He was not loving, and he did not provide the things that were needed to train you and to instruct you and to make you feel secure, to provide not just for your material or physical needs, but for your emotional needs. And there are so many today from dysfunctional homes. The percentage today of single parent homes is really staggering, that it's almost a rarity where there's two loving, godly parents in a home where the child or children are being raised in a godly manner. And this, you know, this is the example we need to be setting, that there can be beauty and harmony in God's way of doing things. In the beginning, He created male and female, and He blessed marriage, that it was to be an enduring relationship. And in the intimacy and sanctity and preciousness of that bond, that was the way that children were to be brought into the world. And it's so tragic today to see what very young children are being exposed to. They have no moral compass. Their home, the parents are in disarray. And beloved, we need to pray as never before, because there are perilous times, and according to the scripture, things are going to get worse. Whether or not we are raptured before, during, or after the tribulation, that's not a matter that I want to attend or attack or even mention, because my response is, does it really matter? Because regardless, His grace is sufficient, and He has a plan, and we are to be faithful and occupy till He comes. And so we can leave sorting out those complexities to the theologians, but we can trust God. So let me go on and just with a few concluding thoughts regarding the text that we shared. And we looked a lot at the book of Job because so many are going through some very difficult times. The text was Job 6:27. Yea, ye overwhelm the fatherless, and ye dig a pit for your friend. What were the lessons we learned? We saw that his three friends, his comforters who came, while they gave him a number of days silence, respect for the suffering and anguish he went through and was going through in their presence, nonetheless, they felt that they had a superior understanding and perhaps meaning good. They wanted to instruct him. They wanted to see his circumstances and situation change, but they were going from wrong suppositions that he was a sinner, that he had, in spite of his reputation, he must have done something really bad for all these horrible things to happen. But as we shared, if you've listened this week, in the very first and second chapter of Job, we see the Lord Himself declaring Job to be a perfect and upright man, one that escheweth evil. And so we have one that we can trust. And he may not have had a natural father alive at that point, but he trusted in his God. And Jesus said in Matthew 23:9, when he said, "And call no man father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven." Now, of course, he was not speaking about that we can't call our natural father, Father, but he was speaking about the role, the position that our Heavenly Father holds. In fact, he said, "My Father is greater than I am," although that was there's distinction within the Trinity, but there's perfect love and harmony. They just fulfill different roles. And he was obedient to the Father's will. He who spoke the worlds into existence, and he will judge the nations. He will rule all nations with a rod of iron. This is the one who subjected himself in obedience and learned obedience to the Father as a natural man to be our example by the things which he suffered. And so when he said that, "One is your Father which is in heaven," a natural father, who is godly now, of course, is the earthly manifestation of one who is to protect and provide for us. But our Father, who reigns on high, has the whole world in his hands. And when your father on earth forsakes you, or lets you down, or disappoints you, or doesn't provide for you, or doesn't give you the security that you need and require, there is one on high who watches over all his children. Not a sparrow falls from the sky, but our Heavenly Father is aware. Jesus said, "Every strand of hair on your head is known by your Father in heaven." When the world forsakes us, we have a Father. In Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 14 through 16, the Word of God tells us, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And I've got to read verse 17. "And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." And we suffer with him, as Jesus did, by laying down our will, by mortifying the deeds of our flesh, by forgiving those who have treated us terribly, those who have misunderstood and maligned us, those who, like Job, comforters who should have comforted you in your time of sorrow and affliction. I can remember a situation in my own life where I was really struggling with something, and I just shared that she was an intercessor for a ministry, and I said I was depressed. And the answer that came back, and there was a lot going on, and it wasn't just that, "Oh, I'm not feeling well today and I'm depressed." There were some real concerns. And her response was, "You've lost your first love." Brother Glass was so angry. At any rate, while she thought she might have meant well, because there was a parallel of circumstances in our lives, and where there was difficulty, this was not in my personal life, but in the external situations, and her situation was very similar. The external situations were all different. And so that was basically the problem. The Bride of Christ is never discouraged or depressed. Well, beloved, all I know is we see Elijah, a man of like passions as we, who did miracles in the name of the Lord. He prayed and it didn't rain for 3 years, and then when he prayed, it did rain. He was off in a cave running for his life because of Jezebel's threat, and he just wanted to die. So because he had expected there was going to be wholesale revival, they had seen, you know, he called down fire from heaven. Beloved, we cannot judge one another. And so my heart, as I have felt so the burden of God for those who have been wounded in the house of their friends, wounded in the house of God, who've stayed away from church fellowship, one of my dear friends right now. When I became friends with her, I found out she had some really bad experience. She hadn't been going to church for a really long time. And I said, "Won't you come with me to church?" Now she's coming faithfully, regularly, and growing in God. But I want to pray for those of you who've been hurt by those who may or may not have meant well, but the effect on you has caused great hurt. You're not in fellowship right now. The word tells we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but we're to join together so much more as we see the time approach. And if we are listening to the news, we see that time is drawing ever closer day by day. Let's pray. Father, you see those who have been so hurt. And Lord, I ask you to bind up their hurt, their wound. I ask you to heal their wounded spirit. Lord, those who have experienced such hurt, such betrayal, those who have had lies spoken against them, those who have had those who were friends and co-workers, even in the work of the Lord, turn against them. Father, I pray that with all of their heart they will be able to forgive and you will help them. But Lord, you will restore their soul. You will restore hope and comfort. And Father, you will let them to know that sense of protection, that they have to protect themselves. Lord, that even in this, the terrible things that happen, they will see that there is some good that will come out of it. They may not see it now, but God, you said all things work together for good. In an amazing way, you miracle worker, oh God, our dear Father, you turn our mourning into dancing. How do you do that? In ways that only you can do. So Father, I pray you will do it now in behalf of those who have been hurt by the words of loved ones, a family, whether it's natural family or church family. And Father, you will restore and heal and bring back in relationships those that you want restored. You will restore. Lord, sometimes I know there's a time when it's just necessary to walk apart, and that's okay. I pray that you will grant them wisdom. There are times we need to go back to one who's offended us. There are times we need to just put them in God's hands, and I pray you will give them the wisdom they need in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for the comfort that you give to us. I thank you, Lord, for the wisdom of Job. I thank you for the lessons we learn in the life that we live. And most of all, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are your children, the Father's children, and we rest and are safe and are protected in your great love and in your everlasting arms. Amen. I love you. Thank you for joining me this week. I invite you to tune in next week at this same time. We'll see what the Lord has. And until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,